I'm going through this pandemic with you. Madge Weinstein. When all said and done, it's gonna be you and me in the sun. Not a face mask in sight, just you and me, and we're tight. Madge Weinstein. I'm going through this pandemic with you. East Radio.
Christ, it's so fucking noisy, as usual. I'm at Elaine Place in Roscoe again. And it should be a quiet intersection. But there's a garbage truck here, and there's also some lawn people doing the weeding. There's, with the weed eater, I don't know what you call it. I always call it a weed eater because it's like a fridge or scotch tape, that kind of thing. You know. But people need to make their money with their weed eating and with their garbage collection. I just don't understand why everything has to be so fucking noisy. I got these goddamn... I got the AirPod Pros. Actually, I did an unboxing. I need to do it. Mostly for the noise canceling. The sound isn't great, but the noise canceling's pretty good. And it's Apple, so it's white for white ladies. But the thing is, audience, the problem is I was wearing them into my office and I was drinking my... I went and got a Starbucks. I was drinking my Starbucks. I came in. So obviously, I had my mask off, but it was around my neck because I have a strap like an old lady do. And I got yelled at, but I couldn't hear them yelling at me because I... Oh, he's coming across the street now. Fuck me. With this motorized weed trimmer that's completely unnecessary and this... Fuck it. I want more noise now from the other side. Oh, that's a leaf blower. Yeah, we need more fucking noise. I'm glad it all uses lots of fossil fuels. Probably a whole forest being destroyed on this fucking corner for this fucking podcast. We're all fucking crazy. Well, you can't blow leaves with a goddamn... You can't use a fucking rake? What the fuck is... Oh, wait, it's... He stands on the... Oh, it's a lawnmower, and he's standing on it. I don't know what the fuck that thing is. It's like some lawn mowing thing. It's a lawnmower, and he's got a strap-on blower with him. It's all gas-powered. He's going to get cancer. And now the garbage truck is turning towards me. Jesus Christ, all this fucking noise. Go away. So, anyway, what was I fucking talking about? Oh, so I go into the orifice, and in the orifice, so I walk in, and I always show my ID. You have to show your ID. I show my ID, and I can't really hear anything because the noise cancellation is very good. And I hear some, sir, they always call me sir, even though I'm a woman, which is a whole nother issue with sexism and body shaming and also misgenderment. And I don't like any of it. I don't like any of that shit, especially misgenderment. It sounds like a good drag name, doesn't it? Misgenderment. Anyway, so then I got to stop saying anyway. I'm annoyed with myself when I say anyway. Now I don't know how to conclude. I don't know how to transition. Anyway. I did it again. Anyway. So I walked in. She's chasing me. I thought she was just saying, where's your ID? I show the ID. And then she chases me to the elevator. And I take off my headphone. Sir, you have to wear a mask. At all times. I was so embarrassed because... I mean, I always wear my fucking mask, but I meant to, you know, I meant to, but it's just, I was listening to my podcast or my music, I don't remember what I was listening to, and I forgot, and I felt so embarrassed, and then they sent an email from the business manager at work, told everybody, be sure to wear your masks in the fucking lobby. Well, I fucking forgot, and I feel like I killed someone, you know what I mean? It's like I fucked everyone with my vagina and no condom, and they were raped. That's how I felt, like I had raped the whole office. So we have that. We talked about that. We sure did. What do you think? Oh, another weed eater. What do you think about that beautiful Mr. Zichi song? I love when I can send out my bat signal and Mr. Zichi gets it. I'm like, hey, Mr. Zichi, I'm doing normal grums again, so please send me some... of that business with the thing. I'm sorry, I'm so distracted from this fucking weed eater. Fucking weed eater. Jesus Christ. I swear people just want to harass me. So they eat weeds. So I was saying anyway about the weed eating. Great song. Thank you, Mr. Zichi. You always come to my rescue. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate contributions to the show, though I haven't gotten much in the way of donations lately. I have gotten much content. But until I get fired, I will be lenient on the donations. So it would be nice. It would be nice. You know, yeastradio.com/donate or $bloatedlesbian on the Cash App, another garbage truck. How many fucking garbage trucks do they need? Jesus Christ. What in the fuck is going on with garbage? Where does it all go? All this fucking garbage. You know, they talked about it in a documentary and they're fucking... Nobody separates that recycled shit. It's all a scam. It all goes to the same fucking dump. It's all just to make you feel better as an idiot. Speaking of idiots... No, I'm kidding. I got an email from Matt Taibbi. I wish. No, I was just... I was going to... Lead might be insurmountable. What is this? Team bleach ammonia, we're in an early... What the fuck does that mean? 71% a clear mandate for bleach ammonia to govern. Oh, they did a... irresistible chemistry supernova. It's a poll on Twitter. Gore Lieberman, Romney Ryan, weed eater garbage truck. Just kidding, I added that. Biden Harris or bleach ammonia. Bleach ammonia wins by 71%. I think that causes an explosion, right? Okay. That's good. Let's see here. Woot has some daily specials. A Brita large cup water filter tenant. How come all the Brita filters are plastic and not glass? I finally found one. We were looking. Finally found one water filter that wasn't made out of plastic. And it was at fucking Crate and Barrel for like $50. And you have to order special filters from Indian kids to save their village. I'm serious. So we ended up getting it. I mean, it's ridiculous. The lens. Why can't you just get a why does everything have to be made out of fucking plastic? Oh my God, I'm complaining too much, audience. Jesus Christ, how many fucking weeds does he have to fucking eat? You're ruining my grum. You're ruining my life. Everything is horrible. The end. Everything is horrible. Also, I got an email from an old friend, Roger Smalls, and I'm going to read it. I haven't read it in advance. I saved it for this program. Let's see. Okay. This is entitled... Suck My Fucking Cunt With Your Weed Eater. By Roger Smalls. No, kidding. He didn't know about that. This weed eater is worse than having Cheryl play clips. I just can't win. I can't fucking win. A blast from the ass. Dearest Madge, I trust this correspondence finds you well. No, Roger, it doesn't, because there's a fucking weed eater in my fucking ear, and he won't go a fucking way. I apologize for not contacting you sooner. Before my incarceration, I was up to date with all of your programming, however, and I am now several years behind, and I am trying to catch up and complete my journals and notes whilst listening, but it does take time. The episode I am currently listening to was very funny. You had just called an anti-abortion helpline, if you remember that show. Well, that was about 30 of them, at least. I think you should listen to that again in the future. I did listen to your most recent podcast, and you mentioned contributors, so I thought I would contact you, although my old iPhone battery needs replacing, so we'll have to write emails for now. By the way, audience, you know, I'm old and I have a hard time reading, and also I can't do a British accent, or I would try to talk like him. I was curious about the state of podcasting, and it seems very different to how it was in the good old days. It seems like a load of mums, millennials on electric skateboards and small businesses are recording videos for YouTube and calling them podcasts, which confuses me.
I agree, Roger.
Roger. I read in the news that Podshow or Mevio had been sold to a multimedia conglomerate, and remember that you had shares in the company when you joined. I don't know what you are doing now, but can only imagine that you became very wealthy from that deal, and guessing you are currently sitting on board a solid gold yacht moored up in Acapulco, sipping cocktails with Bono. Or maybe they shafted you again. The latter, Roger. Definitely the latter. Those shares were worthless. I totally forgot about them, actually. I don't even know if I still have the certificate. It was very nice to meet you briefly in flesh last year on the way to the cruise, and I appreciate your discretion regarding my partner. Society still frowns on Latvian dating. However, she is no longer my fiance due to immigration issues and large hands. I did notice you staring at it. It? You mean them? Or it being the Latvian? Anyway, are you coping with the coronavirus well at the moment? Oh, more noise. Now this is the lawnmower again. Life in England was getting a little strange these last few months, but recently has been fairly mundane. We have lockdown here in England too, but we don't let as many people out in public as Americans seem to. Land of the free. I have been mainly staying at home, furloughing everywhere it is, as it is not safe outside due to idiots. Mother Lupus has returned to her ankles, so I will look after her until I have to go back to work. Well, I'm glad your mother's still well, Roger. I've run out of things to do, so would appreciate your suggestions as I get bored watching latching videos and washing up all day. Yours in yeast. Roger Smalls. And parenthetic. Please don't read that sentence about my ex out in your podcast in case she is listening. Well, it's too late, Roger. I'm really sorry about your ex and its hand or hands, but I'm confused about your use about the word it. You said, I'm just going to go back to that. Society still frowns on Latvian dating. However, she is no longer my fiance due to immigration issues and large hands. I did notice you staring at it. I don't understand why you would say it. Are you referring to the Latvian woman? I'm assuming it's a woman. Oh, I did meet her, so yeah. Or the large hands, in which case that would be a them. Well, both would be either a them or a she. I don't see in any case in which it makes sense there in that sentence. And I don't even know if it is a pronoun, to tell you the truth. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I know I have podcasts. I don't know why people make these YouTube videos and call them podcasts. And I hate business marketing. You know, there's this guy, Griffin Caprio. I'll just tell you his fucking name. Griffin Caprio. And I interviewed with him for a job after I did the boot camp in Chicago. And he's like one of those entrepreneurs. Lots of money from... And he, at the time, he had a company that just basically was a viral video factory. And it was so weird. And I didn't even try to get the job. I basically told him, look, I'm unqualified and I don't even want to work here. I don't know what the fuck this shit is. Because he takes like viral videos. He finds out, he's kind of like a data science guy, and he figures out what's popular, and then he makes, so it, like, if there's a certain meme going around, he'll find out that the meme is popular and make a million websites about the meme just to make money off it and steal other people's ideas. So now guess what he's doing? He's doing corporate podcasts. Griffin Caprio. Oh, he's amazing, audience. Griffin Caprio. Oh, he's making podcasts for your brand, audience. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Don't you just need podcasts to help you brand? Isn't that what podcasting is all about? But be sure and self-censor when you do a real podcast, because otherwise you might get canceled and lose your day job. That should be the new fucking slogan for podcasting. Lose your day job, get canceled. Lose your day job, get fucking canceled. I gotta record that from my Twitter sheet for the name of this gram. Hey Siri, make a note of title for program. Lose your day job, get... Okay. Fuck you, I wasn't done. Oh, sorry, kids. Ugh, fucking bitch. Podcasting, period. Lose your day job, period. Get canceled, period. Fuckers. These motherfuckers. Nobody likes me on Earth. Technology hates me. That's when I know AI is working, because technology is becoming sentient. When it says, fuck you, Madge, at every fucking chance she fucking gets. What the fuck is this sheriff turned the wrong way on a one-way street? What the fuck, you know? Anyway, so Kamala is the VP. Now, anybody who's been listening to the show knows that I've been saying this for a long time, that this was always a fucking setup from the start. There was never any doubt it was going to be Kamala. How do I know this? Because I know... Because when I deactivated Madge on Twitter, I created a secret identity in Black Twitter, and it was very clear, and this is at the sort of end of the fake primary, and it was very clear before Biden took his quote-unquote lead, a street sweeper now. I guess I have to turn my light. Yeah, the street sweeper's here now to make more fucking noise for me. Oh, my God, that's why there's no cars here, the fucking street sweeper. So Black Twitter said, guess what, ladies? It was weird because I went on Black Twitter and everybody was really fucking mean and toxic to me. And it was all black women, by the way, no men. Gay black men with rainbow flags and black women. And the black women were really mean. It was all about basically saying fuck you to everyone. So it was like, if you didn't say something that they liked, they would just be like, fuck you, who cares? Fuck you. It was so rude. And meanwhile, these are people that are, you know, talking about how toxic Bernie brothers are, right? And the weird thing was they would all go off on how much they love Kamala. Kamala this, Kamala that. Oh, we love Kamala. Can't wait for Kamala. But they would never say who they're supporting for president. And Kamala was already out of the race by then. So it was kind of obvious to me when I saw that, okay, something's weird. Like, they're not saying who they're supporting, but it's all about Kamala as VP, and it didn't make any sense until the whole Clyburn thing, who, by the way, that Clyburn senator or congressman, I forget what he is, in, I think, South Carolina that does the fish fry, he basically decided that Biden was going to be the nominee, that the blacks would all support him, and like, boom, poof, the blacks supported him, and at that point I realized, okay, so the black Twitter has decided that Biden's going to be the nominee, and then they get camel in return. You know, just a guess, but seemed pretty obvious, and I believe it's true. So Clyburn gets more money from drug companies than any member of Congress. I believe it's Congress, or it could be the House, or it could be the Senate. I'm not sure exactly. Michael Moore was just talking about the most. So, of course, Medicare for All is out. It is out. Which brings me to my point. You can argue with me about Black Twitter and call me paranoid. I don't care. You know, I'm sorry if I don't agree with the tribe on fucking everything. If you don't agree with the tribe, you're fucking laughed at and people call you crazy. That's a new thing. Madge, you're crazy. And people say to me, Jesus. Jesus, Madge. Jesus, Madge. That's the new gaslighting. It's not you're crazy. That's too direct. Now they just say, Jesus, Madge. Jesus, Madge. Jesus, Madge. You don't agree with the party line. You don't make fucking... You don't fucking color stripes on top of things and then sell them at IKEA on classical paintings. Anyway, I'm not making sense. I'm just going crazy. I'll never have any fans again, but I don't give a shit. If you don't understand what I mean, go to IKEA and look for art. You'll see what I'm talking fucking about. Anyway, that's what my fans do. They make art at IKEA. Very nice art, though, really. I love classical paintings covered up by stripes. Listen, audience, I want to talk to you about this. Kamala, okay? I really kind of like her as a... I mean, like, in the kind of way that Americans like politicians, where you just kind of decide that you're not going to pay attention to issues because it's not fun enough, and you'd rather just imagine who's going to play her on Saturday Night Live. I mean, I saw more posts about people excited about the fact that What's-Her-Face is going to play her on Saturday Night Live than people are interested in her policies at all. Or even more interested than having a woman who's half black and half Indian. And why is she half black? Why isn't she half Indian? Did she decide that? Who decides? I mean, isn't she half? I mean, the whole thing about race is ridiculous anyway. I mean, who decides this shit anyway? We're all 500th cousins, right? We're all 500th cousins. So who the fuck is black and who's white? And how is that fucking determined? It's so fucking arbitrary. But her mother's Indian. Her father's Jamaican. Neither descendants from slaves, just like Obama wasn't a descendant from slave. So I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but whenever we have a presidential candidate who looks black, they're never actually descended from slaves, because that would be a bit much. We certainly don't want a president who looks like somebody who could ring us up at the Walgreens, you know, and be sassy. We don't want that kind of president. But we want to be able to call them black because we're woke, with quotes. But anyway, my point is this. I like her in the same way, like, yeah, okay, she seems cool. She's witty. I guess she's kind of progressive, except she was, oops, a prosecutor. But here's the thing. Oh, my God. I've got all this fucking noise. I got the street cleaner. I've got the lawnmower. I can't take it. People work from home. And now we got all this weed eating. Can't they do that at night? The weed eating? Jesus Christ, I'm going fucking crazy. How long have I been fucking talking? I'm about done. 20 minutes already? I've got a phone call I gotta make. I've got work to do. I've got a yoga class where I'm the only fucking student, so I can get valve shamed. And by the way, I did get valve shamed. I went to yoga with my valve mask on last Wednesday, a week ago. I was the only fucking student, and the teacher said, oh, you have a valve mask on. You better get away from me. So she made me go to the other side of the room, even though I'm the only fucking student in a huge room, because I have a valve mask. So I went online. I was so humiliated. I got a sticker. It's two stickers, right? One goes on the inside of the valve that covers the valve and makes it non-functional on my N99 mask. I hope you're fucking happy, you assholes. On the other side is a sticker that just says, valve deactivated. So woke valve shamers know that I'm not fucking valved, okay? I'm not fucking valved, and I've got the fucking orange sticker covering up the... there's the ComEd truck now. There's the loud fucking ComEd truck, because we had a derecho the other day that fucking took the goddamn fucking trees down. Anyway, yeah, fucking noise. I'm so sorry, audience. I don't know why you podcast and I have to make you listen to all this fucking noise. Oh, now derecho's coming across the street now to make more noise for me. I want to do a chorus line with fucking noisy construction workers making noise to bug me. Weed Eater 10, Dance 3. That makes no sense at all. And I'm so sick of Sarah Cooper. Why do people have to retweet somebody who already has 10 million views? Oh, my God. I really hope Biden wins, but not because of that. but just because I want Sarah Cooper to be unemployed. And what the fuck is she going to do then? Oh my God, she annoys me so much. Anyway, so where... Oh, I said anyway again. But the thing is, so I'm okay. I mean, like, I never really cared about who the VP pick is. I mean, because it's all just this mess. I mean, Biden doesn't support Medicare for All. I don't think it matters too much as far as who's going to win. If the VP... I just don't fucking care. I just fucking don't care. I mean, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's shaming or what, I've decided in my mind, at least today, that I'm going to vote for Biden because Trump is so horrible and I don't want to have a guilt trip about it. If Trump wins, then it's my fucking fault, even though I'm in a blue state anyway. So I'll fucking vote for it. But I've mentioned on the show I'm not going to fucking push for Biden. I'm certainly not going to. I can't. It's ridiculous. And I've never felt more sad. I mean, this should be the most exciting election of my lifetime. You know, like, I should be so excited to be able to vote for somebody against Trump, but I'm not. It's so fucking embarrassing because the bar is so low that we've picked the worst fucking candidate possible because anything is a bar above Trump. Like, the bar is so low it's on the fucking floor and a cockroach is higher. A snake could go over the bar, right? So, but the fucking disappointing thing is, so you have Kamala, who is progressive in many ways in her policies, but she has a horrible record on policing because she was this prosecutor and put black people in jail for drugs and, you know, and fucked people over on death row and all this shit. But, so, that's, she, you know, with the climate that's going on about abolish police, Biden, by picking Kamala, is basically saying fuck you to the whole George Floyd movement, the whole abolish police movement, the whole, you know, protect black people against violence movement. He's just saying a giant fuck you to them. Because that little girl was me, so somehow she's going to protect black people because of her catchphrase in one of the debates. And he said, fuck you to healthcare. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll vote for him, I guess. But he's just pissed away the progressive vote. Progressives are not going to vote for him. I don't give a shit what the polls say. The polls are about the same in favor of Biden as much as they were in favor of Hillary at this point last time. And guess what? Hillary lost. I don't give a shit what the polls say. They're very wrong lately. People make money off the polls and podcasts off the polls. But the thing is, it's kind of, common sense does matter in these situations. This is the time when common sense matters more than polls. And common sense tells me that you just threw away the progressive vote and you damn well better have enough centrists to make up for it. Because progressives are going to stay the fuck home. Because nobody's representing us. Nobody's fucking representing us. We're just supposed to vote against Trump with this horrible guy. Like, here's this piece of garbage, but he's not Trump. I mean, the people that are going to vote for Biden, they'll vote for a soup can over Trump. They literally will. People don't even fucking care. It's the saddest fucking thing that you can't be happy about who you're voting for. All you can do is just be happy that you're getting rid of Trump. It feels like a fucking concentration camp death march, and it's so fucking depressing. So you have Kamala, who is the opposite of police reform. And you have Biden, who's the opposite of health reform, and who's going to drag us because they're not Trump, and then the incrementalist bullshit, and it's crap, and it's garbage. But the good news is they put the scooters out today, and it's only 31 cents a goddamn minute. So to go 10 minutes on these fucking scooters is $3. Hallelujah for progress. At least they're not fucking noisy, goddamn it. Speaking of noise, I'm sorry about the noise this whole goddamn grum, and I'm finished talking to you because I probably got a stack of emails and things I have to address. I need some fucking money. I need money, fucking people, so I don't have to do this forever. I don't know what I'm saying. Thank you for the contributions. BloatedLesbian@gmail.com is my email address. FirmUterus is my phone number. Just call it FirmUterus. It's a real phone number. BloatedLesbian on Twitter. You must follow me. Please follow me on Instagram, Madge Weinstein. Engage, retweet, reviews on iTunes. All that stuff is incredibly invaluable. You don't really have to donate. But if you can do anything to sort of help me that doesn't require money, it's actually worth more right now to me. Anything that can increase my listenership, my reviews, the content, all that stuff, that's the real gold of this program. I love donations too because of my ego. I have $5 here and that. And by the way, you can also donate to Tampon Tammy, which is on her website, tampontammy.net, or just Tampon Tammy, $TamponTammy, on the thing, on the girdle, the Cash App. All right, audience, have a wonderful day. Eat my ass out. Why is this on hold?
As it was with Nero in ancient Rome, we Americans chose to fiddle while the world was catching fire around us. We were in the mood for recreation, and our national pastime was the world of sports. And radio was the making of many sports. Live broadcasts by skilled reporters from the scene of championship contests brought Americans right to ringside. And I must admit that the excitement of hearing a radio report was often far better than seeing it in person. Wherever boxing fans gather, the subject of the long count will still be discussed. The famous fight was between Gene Tunney and Jack Dempsey.
Ladies and gentlemen, main event, 10 rounds for the heavyweight championship of the world. Introducing from Salt Lake City, Utah, wearing black trunks, weighing 187 and a half pounds, former heavyweight king, Jack Dempsey. His opponent from New York City, wearing white trunks, weighing 195, heavyweight champion of the world, Gene Tunney.
In spite of the fact that I was hit seven times in succession in the seventh round in my contest with Jack Dempsey for the world's heavyweight championship, was one of my luckiest nights. As a matter of fact, the luckiest night of my life. Yes, I was down. I heard the referee count two. I knew I had to get up, which was part of my professional obligation, but what to do when I got up was the important thing. I decided to stay away from Jack, and it was a very wise decision, as the results show.
The winner and still heavyweight champion, Gene Tunney!
Well, my thoughts was hoping he would never get up, but unfortunately he did. And won the fight, and more power to him. A great boy and a great champion.
The first Joe Louis-Max Schmeling encounter, as it was described by Graham McNamee.
Schmeling got over two more hard rights to Louis's jaw and made Louis give ground. And there Schmeling straightened up Louis with hard rights and left to the jaw. He has puffed up Louis's left cheek, and Louis is down. Louis is down, hanging to the rope, hanging badly. He is a very tired fighter. He is blinking his eyes, shaking his head. The count is done. The fight is over. The fight is over. And Schmeling is the winner. Lewis is completely out. They had to lift him and carry him to his corner.
When the rematch came months later, expert opinion was mixed. First, let's hear what Jack Dempsey had to say.
Well, it's anybody's fight, but I favor Max Schmeling because I saw Joe Louis work out, and he looks to me like everybody's hitting him.
Gene Tunney saw it differently.
Well, I believe that if Louis gets the jump in the beginning of the fight, he'll win. But if he's going to allow himself to be maneuvered around by Schmeling, I believe that Schmeling is going to win.
Max Baer.
Well, I'm stringing along with Louis this time, although in the last fight, I selected Schmeling. As a matter of fact, I want him to win, because I want to be the first fighter to regain the heavyweight championship.
Max Schmeling.
I'm feeling comfortable and in good shape. My walk here at the training camp has put me in the best of condition.
15 rounds for the world's heavyweight championship.
Right and left to the head, a left to the jaw, a right to the head, and Donovan is watching carefully. Louis measures him, right to the body, a left hook to the jaw, and Schmeling is down. The count is 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. The men are in the ring. The fight is over on a technical knockout. Max Schmeling is beaten in one round.
The time, 2:04. First round. Referee stops it, the winner and still champion, Joe Louis.
I waited 2 years for the revenge, and now I got it.
Wait a minute, Max.
I'd like to fight Joe Louis again. If I have a chance, I will. But once I beat Joe Louis, and Joe Louis beat me, now we're even. And I hope the next time we meet again, I'll beat him again.
Sport fans are still talking about the Olympic Games of 1936. They took place in Berlin, Germany, and a young American Negro named Jesse Owen scored an unprecedented triumph in several events. Jesse's victory was an unhappy shock to Olympic host Adolf Hitler, but for us, a national triumph, and for Jesse, a dramatic personal experience. Here he is with announcer Ted Husing.
Six boys walked out on the field unnoticed. Unnoticed because a German boy had won an Olympic victory and the crowd was giving him an ovation that was due an Olympic champion. As we sat there on that bench unnoticed, this is the sight that I saw within that wonderful area. As my eyes wandered across the field, I noticed a green grass, a red track with the white lines. And as my eyes wandered into the stands, I noticed 120,000 people sitting and standing within that great area. And as my eyes wandered upward again, I noticed a flag of every nation that was represented there in the Olympic Games underneath that German blue sky. My attention was diverted in that beautiful picture because a whistle had been blown. And we were to assemble around a starter to receive our...
Here are the lanes, ladies and gentlemen. From the inside to the outside, Jesse Owens on the pole. Lennart Strandberg of Sweden next to him in second lane. Erich Borschmeier, the German Borschmeier. Jesse Owens is running in white shoes today. Ralph is running in black shoes. And here they go, down in the mark.
The starter stepped back about 10 paces, and he hollered in a loud German voice, "Auf für Plätze." And when he hollered, "Auf für Plätze," every man went to his mark. Adjusting our hands and our feet, the starter suddenly said in a soft voice, "Fertig." And when he hollered, "Fertig," every man came to a set position.
The wind is blowing here, it's a little bit chilly. They're set. The gun sounds and they're away, and Jesse Owens comes out of there with Ralph Metcalf.
The boys ran neck and neck for 50 yards. Ralph Metcalf of Marquette University was leading the field at the 70-yard mark. And from the 70 to the 90, Ralph and I ran neck and neck.
Jesse Owens starts moving. He's a yard or two out in front. Metcalf is coming second up on him. It's Owens, Metcalf, and Ozendorf. Metcalf came in second. Ozendorf third. And
for some unknown reason, I beat Ralph Metcalf of Marquette University in this most historic event. But the greatest honor came as we stood up there on that pedestal of victory, and after we had knelt and received the wreath of victory from the German maidens, and standing there facing the stands, from a faraway distance we could hear the strains of the Star-Spangled Banner. As the people in the stands stood, the Germans gave the Nazi salute, the Americans gave the American salute, and as we three on the pedestal of victory did our face, I noticed the stars and stripes were rising higher and higher. And the higher the stars and stripes rose, the louder the strains of the Star-Spangled Banner were heard. And then and there I realized my ambition of 8 years to become a member of Uncle Sam's Olympic team to emerge as a victor in the Olympic Games provided me with my greatest moment throughout my whole athletic career.
International tensions again intruded into the world of sports in 1937. The semifinals of the Davis Cup matches that summer had America's Don Budge pitted against Germany's Baron Gottfried von Kramm. Don Budge describes the scene immediately after his narrow victory.
As Kramm and I were leaving the locker room, the telephone rang and Kramm was called back, and it was Hitler calling him to wish him good luck in this particular match. Of course, it was quite exciting because the fellow who had charge of getting the players out on the court on time had both of us by the arm. He wouldn't let Kramm go, and Kramm was saying, "Yes, my inferior, this and that," and it got to be quite a tense moment. However, we finally did get out on the court, and I managed to win the third and fourth, and right away I was down 4-1 in the fifth set. I decided I had to get the net position away from him in the worst way, so with this in mind, I made up my mind I would try to return his serve and go in behind it. Well, as luck had it, I did manage to get my returns in, get into the net, and make some winning volleys. I broke his serve, and from there on it went to 6-all. Finally, at 7-6, I broke his serve, and after 6 match points, finally won the thing, after a great struggle, falling down on the ground on my last point, but making the shot nonetheless. But as We shook hands at the net. I'll never forget what Cram said. He said, Don, he said, I'm very happy that I played so well against you, whom I like so much, and it was the best tennis I've ever played in my life, so congratulations to the best man on this particular occasion.
This was a blow to German prestige and a victory for America far out of proportion to the actual importance of the event. Horse racing gained a following, too, because of radio. Listen to the famed Whirlaway win the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs.
And Whirlaway is now making his dash in fifth place, and they're rounding the turn, and it is Disposed, and Porter's Cap at his head. Disposed by half a length, Porter's Cap has got him, and Blue Pair is right there. Whirlaway is cutting on the inside, and if he don't get blocked, he'll give him an awful drive. And Starator is right there. Porter's Cap is under a drive, heading for home. And Disposed is still there. Blue Pair cut the corner. Whirlaway has the lead by half a length. Porter's Cap has gone to a drive. It's Whirlaway by half a length, but Disposed is not yet beaten. No, Whirlaway pulls away. They've got 200 yards to come, and it's Whirlaway by 2.5 lengths. Porter's Cap is in second place by 1/2 length, and on the inside, market-wise, coming with a rush, but it's Whirlaway winning the race by 6 lengths.
Did you recognize that announcer? Yes, Clem McCarthy. That was in 1941. And the only four-time Kentucky Derby winner, Eddie Arcaro, the jockey. Undoubtedly, the most exciting moment in sports, though, came quite late. In fact, in 1951. Though television was on the spot, too, I think that radio really captured this moment in an epic of modern baseball. The scene is Ebbets Field. The New York Giants have surged from far behind to overtake the Brooklyn Dodgers and tie them for the National League Championship. A playoff round of 3 games was needed to decide. After 2 games, the Giants and the Dodgers are tied. In the 3rd game, the Giants are at bat for the last time. 2 men are on base.
Bobby Thompson up there swinging. He's had 2 out of 3, a single and a double, and Billy Crouch is swinging right on the third base line. One out, last of the night, bag of pitches. Bobby Thompson takes a strike call on the inside corner. Bobby hitting at 292. He's had a single and a double, and he drove in the Giants' first run with a long fly to center. Brooklyn leads it 4-2. Hartung down the line at third, not taking any chances. Locked in without too big of a lead at second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Franco throws. There's a long strike! I say it, I believe! The Giants won the pennant! 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the very back of the left field stand! The Giants won the pennant! And they're going crazy! They're going crazy!
After the game in the Giants clubhouse.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, buddy.
Bobby, you drove in your 98th, 99th. Oh, how do you feel?
It was the third one I drove in.
Bobby Thompson, did you fall down coming around 30?
I fell down. I didn't touch the ground once. Going
you just flew off, Bobby.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Oh, the bad high that inside is. Fastball.
You said a bad high inside.
Oh, I don't know. Good living, I don't know what it is.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
While in the Brooklyn clubhouse, the hapless pitcher, Ralph Branca, comments.
Let me alone. Go ahead, let me alone. Let me be, will you? You saw what happened. Things are tough enough. Yeah, I knew it was gone all the way. All I kept saying was sink, sink, sink. I knew he hit the ball. He uppercutted, hit the ball with overspin. It was like a curveball. It was sinking down. All I remember is seeing Path go up against the wall, and then I was walking to the clubhouse. All I kept saying was, why me? Why me? Why did he have to be me?
Just as exciting today as it was then.
It ought to be inconceivable that in this modern era and in the face of experience, any nation could be so foolish and ruthless as to run the risk of plunging the whole world into war
by invading and violating, in contravention of solemn treaties, the territory of other nations that have done them no real harm and which are too weak to protect themselves adequately. Yet the peace of the world and the welfare and security of every nation, including our own, is today being threatened by that very thing. War is a contagion, whether it be declared or undeclared. If civilization is to survive, the principles of the Prince of Peace must be restored. Shattered trust between nations must be revived. America hates war. America America hopes for peace. Therefore, America actively engages in the search for peace.
Life went on. The Depression was lifting under the impetus of war orders from Europe. The draft was a fact, but we still enjoyed concerts and movies, and professional football was getting off to a good start.
Dodgers are ready to kick off now. They've just scored. Ace Parker did it. Jock Sutherland's boys lead the Giants 7-0. Here's the whistle. Merle Condon comes up. He boots it. It's a long one down to around the 3-yard line. Ward Tuff takes it. He's cutting up to his left. He's over the 10. Nice block there by Lehman. Tuff still going. He's up to the 25. And now he's hit and hit hard about the 27-yard line. Bruiser Kennard made the tackle.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Stay tuned to WOR for further developments, which will be broadcast immediately as received.
Where's your mama? Why haven't they let you out yet?
Chickens under the bed.